Hello, welcome back to About Music, The Art of Listening. I'm Brian. So I thought that today we would talk about resting points in music, which are also referred to as cadences. In other words, points where the music takes breaths along the way. There are traditionally four cadences that go under various names in different parts of the world, but I'm going to use the British terminology. The names are actually completely unimportant. What is important is how these resting points fit into the musical structure. There are two final sounding cadences which can end a piece of music or a section of a piece of music or even a single phrase. These are the perfect and plagal cadences. The other two do not sound final, and use of those implies that something will follow, such as an answering phrase or a next section or even another piece of music. Let's find examples and listen. The perfect cadence consists of the dominant chord, followed by the tonic, or home key chord. Important is that the cadence must include the seventh note of the scale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the dominant chord, followed by the eighth note in the home key chord, which is, of course, the same note as the first note of the scale. The seventh is called the leading note precisely because it leads the ear to the home key note. For this reason, other chords that contain the seventh note of the scale can stand in for the dominant. For example, they produce a slightly weaker cadence, but still acceptable. However, for the final chord, there is no stand-in for the home key chord. Let's listen to a piece now by Schubert, just the ending to get that final cadence. This is in a major key. Now a piece in a minor key, the ending of Chopin's Prelude in E minor. Just one more example, the very end of Mozart's Sonata K-333. The imperfect cadence ends with the dominant chord or any other chord that contains the seventh note of the scale preceded by any other chord. The important factor here is that because the leading note, the seventh note, is not allowed to lead on, the effect is that the ear expects something more to follow. So, for example, what we're expecting is, but what we got is, so our ear is telling us something more must be coming. The imperfect cadence is often followed by a perfect cadence. So, for example, we might have, here are some music examples. With each example, notice how the first phrase makes an open statement. The second phrase starts with the same melody notes, but it now turns these into an answer. So, from the start of the last movement of Mozart's Sonata 333, here are the opening two phrases. They have the contrasted imperfect and perfect cadences, and then they're both repeated, just to give you a second opportunity to hear them. Now for one in the minor key, Schumann's Poor Orphan Child. The two phrases are on the long side, but the resting point is fairly clear. ¶¶ other final sounding cadence is the plagal cadence. In this case, it is usually the subdominant followed by the home key chord. Other chords which contain the two notes in common with the subdominant can stand in for the subdominant, such as, for example, you are probably familiar with this cadence as the Amen at the end of most religious songs. We're going to listen to the very ending of Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. Notice how the same two chords are repeated over and over to emphasize the ending of this piece. I have chosen a version for organ, as the choral version is very well known and the organ makes the cadence very clear. Now let's listen to the ending of Liszt's Liebestraum, a very mellow Amen cadence. The other non-final cadence is called the interrupted cadence or deceptive cadence. Similarly to the perfect cadence, it starts with the dominant chord, but is followed by another chord which is not the home key chord. Important is that the cadence must include the seventh note of the scale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the dominant chord, and it must be followed by the eighth note. But because the second chord contains the home note but isn't the home key chord, the effect is to mislead the ear and create an expectation that a proper solution must follow. The seventh note or leading note has correctly led the ear to the home key note, but because the home key chord is not present, the effect is unsettling and it demands more action, leading to a more satisfactory ending. Interrupted cadences are easiest to recognize when you compare them to perfect cadences. That's what I will do in the examples that follow. Here is a small section right at the end of Mozart's Fantasy in C minor. It comes just before the ending and shows the interrupted cadence followed almost immediately by the perfect cadence. Next we have a section of Schubert's Ave Maria. This is the very start of the piece, but I want you to compare it to the very end which we heard earlier. This I will also play again. Do you hear how Schubert misled us with the deceptive cadence? And resolved it later in the piece. Do you hear how Schubert misled us with the deceptive cadence and resolved it later in the piece? We also listened earlier on to the perfect cadence in Chopin's Prelude in E minor. Right near the end, he also gives us a deceptive cadence. just where you expect the piece to end, and then he follows it with the perfect cadence. When we listen to a piece of music, we tend to subconsciously be aware of more final and less final moments. It's nearly always the perfect cadence that marks the end of sections. Being familiar with the sound of this cadence can help us sort out in our mind the points where the composer moves from one section to the next. Sometimes it's brutally clear, other times it can be very discreet and almost hidden. The perfect cadence is also the criteria by which we usually establish that a change of key or modulation has taken place. If we find in the music that there are notes that do not belong to the home key, and at the same time we discover the seventh note of the scale that does include these new notes, followed by the eighth note of that scale, we have a definite change of key. Since both the perfect and interrupted cadences have this formula, either one can be used to establish a change of key. But if the foreign notes or the cadence including the seventh note of the new scale are not found, then no change of key has taken place. Both of those factors need to be present. There is a lot more to this topic about cadences and modulation, but it is too intricate for inclusion in this program, and in any case most listeners would find the theory uninteresting. If you're interested to know more, please write to me, brian@gsaradio.stream, and I will send you information. Alternately, when I load this episode onto my webpage, I will include additional reading on this topic. Now let's listen to some of the example works in full and try to recognize the cadences I have just picked out. In your future listening, try to become aware of these breathing places. That's easy in a song, since the singer must breathe, but it's also not too difficult in instrumental music. You're probably wondering, why would you want to do this? Simply because everything is easier to digest, even music is, when we take it in small bites. It's like the old joke that says, how do you eat a crocodile? One bite at a time. Or, similar to the saying, a long journey begins with a single step. Don't try to absorb an entire piece in one step. It can be too overwhelming. Take it one melody at a time, one phrase at a time, one section at a time, and the cadences I spoke about today are the tools that will help you as you take small steps on the musical journey. As you listen to our selection, don't stress over the name of these cadences. Just try to be aware of only two things. First, is the music or section of the music resting because it sounds like it could pause or end there? Remember, in most cases it will immediately carry on. I'm only asking about your sensation. I'm not suggesting that the piece actually ended. Or alternately, second, is the breathing point such that you know the music cannot possibly stop there? It must go on. These two sensations can be highly personal, as we all perceive music differently. So you don't have to worry about being right or wrong, only about how you feel or perceive it at that moment. Here is Chopin's Prelude in E minor. Thank you. Here is the last movement of Mozart's sonata K333. Thank you. Here is the short piece by Schumann called Poor Orphan Child. Here is Liszt's Liebestraum.
Thank you.
Here is Schubert's Ave Maria.
Thank you.
Here is a version played on the organ of Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. To end today's program, I'm going to challenge you with a work that I'm 99% sure you are not familiar with. And I'm doing this because I want to demonstrate to you how easy it can be to absorb a totally new and difficult piece of music simply by listening to it in bite-sized pieces. The work Tabula Rasa is a composition by the Estonian composer Arvo Pärt. The title is Latin for blank slate or clean slate. In philosophy, the term refers to the concept that individuals are born with a mind that is essentially a blank slate, with knowledge and experience being acquired through sensory perception and experience. The piece was composed in 1977, and it is written for two solo violins, prepared piano, and a string orchestra. Arvo Pärt is known for his unique approach to composition, often incorporating minimalist techniques and a deep sense of spiritual contemplation in his works. Ludus is the name of the first movement of this composition. In Latin, ludus refers to a game. In the context of the composition, it suggests a sense of playfulness or game-like interactions between the instruments. This first part features rapid rhythmic patterns and dynamic exchanges between the two solo violins and the string orchestra. The movement has a lively and energetic character, marked by intricate musical dialogues and interplays. The violin parts in particular engage in a kind of a musical game, weaving around each other with a sense of playfulness and exploration. Please listen to the bite-sized pieces that Arvo Pärt presents. He emphasizes the unusual cadences by using the prepared piano to introduce each one. Absorb one thing at a time. Don't try to connect them. As the movement proceeds, your mind will automatically make the connection subconsciously if you just listen thoughtfully.
Thank you.
I'm sure that after that most interesting music you are possibly bemused or amazed. I sincerely hope that you use the occasion to practice listening in bite-sized pieces, instead of attempting to see the whole piece in one glance. I strongly urge you to give this work another hearing, or even more than one. You can do this on the podcast here on GSA Radio, or you could look on YouTube Music for Avo Pärt's Tabula Rasa, or simply write to me, brian@gsaradio.stream, and I will send you the link. That's all for today. Take care, and especially if you're traveling these holidays, remember to listen wherever you are. About Music is available worldwide on gsaradio.stream, and there will be a program each Thursday as usual. So, until next week, goodbye.
atmosphere.